saw somebody wrote this week somewhere, it said, Easter is not about the bunny, it's about the lamb. I like that. Why should we celebrate the resurrection? Read with me in verses 12 through 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church. They had been told that there was no resurrection, and he's answering the questions. He says in verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about our God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Pray with me for a minute. Lord, we thank you for your resurrection. Help us as we look at why we should celebrate it today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why should we celebrate the resurrection? I've got three main reasons today for you. And as we look at them, I'm going to be moving you around in the Bible. So get your Bible ready. Lick your finger so you can move it fast, because we're gonna go through in several verses. Now, the first reason that we need to celebrate the resurrection is that it reminds us, mankind, of several things. Number one, it reminds mankind of the guilt of mankind. Now, we don't always want to remember that. And you say, wait a minute, why does the resurrection remind us of man's guilt? Well, let me ask you this. Why was Jesus in the grave? Because he had been killed. Oh, he was killed by the Jews and the Romans. That's not my fault. But look at Isaiah 53 with me. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. As you go back to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah is an excellent book of Scripture. And it has some wonderful prophecies. And it has some great prophecies about Jesus. This one has a lot in there about his death. But look with me at just verses 4 through 6 of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. This is what he says. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for..." What's that next word? "Our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Whose fault was it that Jesus was crucified? Mine and yours. Because he was dying for our sins on that cross. Now, I know we like to blame the Jewish leaders, and they were jealous of him and all this stuff, and the Romans because they were vicious killers, but we are the reason he died on that cross. The resurrection reminds us of our guilt and his innocence, and he resurrected because he was who he said he would be. It also reminds us of the gift of God, as we talked about it. Because of man's sins, God gave his son. You know this little verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He gave his Son to pay for our sins. He was the substitute for our sins. He took our place on the cross. That's the whole story of redemption. That's the whole story of redemption. It reminds us of the guilt of mankind, but we needed something, and he gave us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Salvation is a free gift, and you hear me quote this every Sunday almost, "For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so what he's saying is, I gave my Son on the cross to die for your sins, and his gift to you is eternal life, and you need to trust him alone to get to heaven. That's the simple stuff. And as we look at the resurrection, we're reminded of that gift that he gave so that we could go to heaven. Not only a guilt of mankind, the gift of mankind, but the greatness of redemption it reminds us of. It speaks of new life. I like 2 Corinthians 5:17 because it really speaks to the difference we are between when we trust Christ and before we trust Christ. You remember that verse? He says basically there that you are, when someone is in Christ, they are a new creation in Christ, a new creation. Now, that means everything is new, a new record. Remember Colossians 2 says that he's wiped away my record. When I trust Christ, he's wiped away the record of my sins. A new father, our heavenly father now. A new family in Christ. We've been talking a lot about that in Ephesians. A new creation there we just talked about. New life in Christ. We receive new spirits, new gifts from the Holy Spirit. A new body at the rapture of the church. And of course, the resurrection speaks of the totality of redemption. The totality of the redemption. Totally forgiven, totally cleansed, totally accepted by God. These are things we've been looking at in Ephesians, right? Totally loved by God, totally cared for by God, totally changed body, soul, and spirit. And so when we look at the resurrection, we recognize that it reminds us of all these things. But it also removes all doubt as to who Jesus was. As we saw in the film, Mary said, it showed who he really was and the claims he made of himself that they were true. As to who Jesus was, Christ claimed to be God in the flesh. Remember, he said, I and the Father are one. He said, I'm going back to my Father, and so on. It fulfills Bible prophecy. Turn again to the Old Testament in Psalm 16:10. Psalm 16:10, if you looking for Psalms, just split your Bible in half, and that's you're going to come out as Psalms. Psalm 16:10, and there, as he's writing at Psalm 16, there's a lot there about the death of Christ. But in Psalm 16:10, he said this, "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, and will nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Now, that talks about the resurrection. Now, Peter explained it when he spoke in Acts chapter 2. As he spoke to thousands of people, he said to them, listen, this is the fulfillment of that. David wrote that, but he wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. And as he's talking about, he's talking about the resurrection. He said he died on that cross, and on the third day he resurrected according to the prophecy of Psalm 16. And there in Acts 2, as he writes, he says, pay attention. The Bible was not talking about David. The Bible was talking about Jesus Christ, who we witnessed and we talked to. Remember the other day we were talking about the fact that Jesus, after his resurrection, stayed 50 days with the apostles and taught them the things that they needed to know as before he left, and then he ascended into heaven. And they watched him for 50 days. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says at the end when he left that he was seen by over 500 believers at one time. And so the resurrection of Christ is real. It was well documented. And by the way, Patty and I saw a film last week called A Case for Christ. It's a story of how Lee Strobel's came to know Christ. He wrote a book on that. We had a small group Bible study on it. If you haven't seen that film, it's at the movies now. Go see it. Excellent movie. Excellent. Okay, I didn't mean to get off. It fulfills Bible prophecy. It fulfills his own promises about the resurrection. As you go through the New Testament over and over, Jesus said, I will resurrect. I will resurrect. And they made fun of him because of it. They even made fun of it on the cross as he died. When the Jews remembered this after he died, turn to Matthew 27 for a minute. The Jewish leaders suddenly remember, well, this guy said he would resurrect. They were paying attention. And in Matthew 27, 62, they take a precaution so that they would make sure he didn't resurrect. 27 and 62, he says this. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. And look at what they say. They were listening when he claimed he would resurrect. Sir, they said, we remembered that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. They caught it. But look at the next phrase. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception would be worse than the first. And so he says, okay, take a guard, seal it up. And you remember on resurrection morning, when Christ resurrected, those guards fell out like dead men when the angel there rolled the stone away. That was a witness as to who Jesus really was. He kept his promises and his prophecies. It was proof positive as to who he was. It was proof positive that he did what he said he would do. Paul uses that same thing in Romans 1. We're not going to go there. But several places in the New Testament, it was used over and over again that he said he would rise, and he did. In fact, Peter, remember, says it in Acts 2. Paul shares it later on when he gives his testimony, and he says, Jesus, when he was on earth, said he would rise again on the third day, and he did, and that's where he talks about over 500 people at once saw him alive on this earth. So the resurrection reminds us of our guilt, of the gift, and the greatness of redemption. It removes all doubt as to who Jesus was, and it renews our hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, go back there, verses 17 through 19, look at what it says there. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19, we read it a while ago. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And so what he's saying there is look, if Christ never resurrected from the dead, we're doing this for nothing. We're wasting our time. And we're just a bunch of liars spreading a lie. But he did resurrect. And that's what he says in verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And because of that, it renews our hope. You remember in Luke 24, when Christ talked to the two people on the Emmaus Road, remember those two men? And they were walking outside of Jerusalem, going back toward their hometown of Emmaus. And they were all downcast, kind of dragging. And Jesus appeared and walked with them along the road, didn't let them recognize who he was. And he said, why in the world are you guys so upset? You look like you lost your best dog. He didn't say that, but I'm That's a Swallowed translation. You look so sad and afraid. What's going on? And they told him, well, you know, there was this Jesus. Where have you been all this weekend? Haven't you heard of what's going on? There was this Jesus, and we thought he was the Messiah, and we followed him, and everything he said came true, and he did all these miracles, and we thought that he would rescue Israel from the Romans, and a few days ago they killed him. And they put him in a grave, and we've been scared ever since. And this morning, this is on Sunday afternoon, this morning some of the women said they went to the tomb and they saw him, and we just don't know what's going on. And so the Bible says here that what he did was, with these two as they walked along, he explained from the Old Testament how that he was supposed to die to pay for the sins of the world, and how that he would resurrect according to the Scripture. And then suddenly they realized who he was. And he left them. And they ran back and told the disciples, we saw Jesus! We saw Jesus! He's alive! And about that time he appeared in the room, remember? And they had lost hope. They were scared. They were frustrated. And when Christ appeared to them, suddenly that hope came back. And that's the way it is for us. The resurrection gives us hope. It gives us hope for life. It helps us to realize that what we believe is true. And they were not a bunch of liars. And it's not just a dream. It's real. It was hope for the disciples of the future as well. A living hope. There are four things there that gives us hope. Number one, we can have a relationship with him now. Now, we don't see him like the apostles did. In fact, after he went up into heaven after those 50 days, they didn't see him physically again, except for Paul, remember, who saw him on the road when he was going to persecute Christians. He appeared to him personally. And then to John later in Revelation. But we don't see him, but we can have a relationship with him now. He lives. He's alive. You can talk to Jesus. You can listen to him speak to you through the Word of God. It's real. Secondly, we have reassurance that he represents us in heaven. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews, remember, Jesus is talking to Hebrews, to Jews, about the fact that Jesus is better than anything in the Old Testament. And one of the things he says, Jesus was a better priest than the old priest of the Old Testament. Number one, because those priests died. And our high priest doesn't. In Hebrews chapter 7, and as you look back to verse 23 there, we'll start there. He says, now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Well, what's the big deal about that? Now, here's the application. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because he, put this in red in your Bible, always lives to make intercession for us. For them, that's us. What's he saying? The Old Testament priests prayed for the people. And they came between God and them and they offered sacrifices and so on. Jesus, according to what Hebrews said earlier, offered one sacrifice once and for all. What was that sacrifice? His own self. And we're going to celebrate that in a minute through the communion. And he gave his life for us one time and it was done. The Old Testament priests interceded with God for the Jews of the Old Testament. And they might just get in good with one good priest, and then he would die, because he's human. But our high priest lives forever, will never die. And he sits at the right hand of God always making intercession for us. Always making intercession for us. You understand that? If you ever go to court and you have a lawyer, and the lawyer gets sick or he dies or whatever, you got to get a new lawyer, right? And then he's got to start over with the case. Well, our lawyer lives forever, and he's always there for us. In fact, Hebrews says that he sat down at the right hand of the Father on high, making intercession for us. And so when Satan, our enemy, says, oh, that's a bad one there. That Sherman, yeah, he's no good. He says, no, no, I died for him, and he trusted me as his Savior. He never forgets, and he never dies. He's always there. He's making intercession for us. We have assurance of representation forever and forever and forever at the hand of God, at the right hand of God for us. Relationship, reassurance, redemption of our bodies. Now, Christ didn't mess around. He redeemed us spiritually, but he will one day change our bodies. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. We read this a lot of times, the pastors do, at the grave site, for the grave site ceremony. And, you know, when we bury one of our loved ones, we remember people by what they look like. I mean, we are so related to the physical. That's normal, right? And when they're gone, oh no, they're gone forever, we think. But they're not. Their spirit, when they trust Christ, has gone to be with the our Heavenly Father, body to the ground, but one day it's going to be changed. And there in 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 51, he says this, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is written, will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And write that last verse there. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so we will see, have a reunion with them in heaven one day. 1 Thessalonians talks about that too. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and we will meet the Lord in the air. Won't that be fantastic? Huh? What a gathering in the clouds before we go physically into heaven with a new glorified body. Man, how exciting that is. I'm looking forward to that. And then the last one we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, rest and reward for labor. If Christ never was resurrected, we're wasting our time. But because he did, we can celebrate. Rejoice. Celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Why? Because it reminds us of God's redemption. It removes all doubt as to who he is, and it renews our hope. Pray with me for a minute. Lord, as we are here today, what a joyous thing to remember your resurrection. What a fantastic day this should be for us. Because you are alive. You live forever. And because of that, we have salvation through you. And we have a hope through you. And we have a future through you. As we observe the Lord's Supper here, may we not forget that it all comes at your expense through your death and resurrection. You paid the price on the cross. You resurrected to prove who you were. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.